A scripture reading this morning be taken from the book of Hebrews, chapter 10. Be reading verses 26 through 39. Hebrews chapter 10, 26 through 39. For if we sin willfully after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful looking for the judgment of judgment and fiery indignation which shall devour the adversaries. He that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. Of how much sorer punishment, suppose ye, shall he be thought worthy, who hath trodden under foot the Son of God, and hath counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing, and hath done despite unto the Spirit of grace. For we know him that hath said, vengeance belongeth unto me, I will recompense, saith the Lord. And again, the Lord shall judge his people. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. But call to remembrance the former days in which, after ye were illuminated, ye endured a great fight of afflictions, partly whilst ye were made a gazing stock, both by reproaches and afflictions, and partly whilst ye became companions of them that were so used. For ye had compassion of me in my bonds, and took joyfully the spoiling of your goods, knowing in yourselves that ye have in heaven a better and an enduring substance. Cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. For ye have need of patience, that, after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he that shall come will come, and will not tarry. For the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them who draw back unto perditions, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul.
Good morning. So thankful you're here this morning. We're so appreciative that you've decided to come to Center Chapel and worship God together with us. We always urge you and encourage you to come back this evening for our second service at 5 p.m. We would love to have you here with us tonight as we study the book of John. We'll be in chapter 10 of John tonight. So if you are interested in coming back, read that chapter and we'll have a lesson on it this evening. We've tried to break down the book of Hebrews from an outline perspective, looking at it from sections and different passages, and we're going to continue that today because we're entering into a new section or a new set of passages that really breaks down into six units. Today's lesson is going to be emphasizing endurance because the next few chapters are going to have this running theme of endurance through chapter 10 through chapter 11 as well. So there's our six units that we're going to find in these next two chapters coming up. Again, I don't want you to forget or neglect this. As you're studying these chapters, you're looking for endurance. You're looking for the description of endurance from these passages. So what's going to frame these two sections, beginning in 10:26 and in 12:29, we have two warnings. The first warning has to do with rejecting God's Son and His work on the cross, which would also include neglecting His priestly work that He's doing currently. So don't neglect, don't reject, don't forsake Jesus. That's the first warning, verses 26 through 31. Now look at chapter 12, verse 29. And here is, or 25 through 29, sorry. Beginning in verse 25, see that you do not refuse him who speaks, for if they did not escape who refused him who spoke on earth, much more shall we not escape if we turn away from him who speaks from heaven. So this warning has to do with not rejecting that final word given to us through God's beloved Son, Jesus Christ. So there's our warnings that frame this section of endurance. If you're a Bible student, if you're a person who loves to research and look into the scriptures, then this is going to appeal to you greatly, this breakdown and outline. Looking at it further with endurance, he's going to ask them in verses 32 through 39 of chapter 10 to recall so that they may persevere, so that they can continue to endure through sufferings or afflictions or persecutions. And this is going to lead into chapter 11. Who is familiar with chapter 11? The Hall of Faith. Well, more precisely, it's not just a Hall of Faith. It's a Hall of Endurance. Those who are exemplars of faith, they were those who endured through hardships, through sufferings. Take Noah, for example. Noah preached roughly from 75 to what I think is 125 years, or 120 years, he preached to the people, he suffered, he got ridiculed, I'm sure he got mocked as he's building that ark, but he still endured through it. He still did what God had asked him to do. That's endurance of faith. This leads to verses 1 and 2 of chapter 12. Our author, our finisher, what I've entitled this is our champion of our faith. Well, what about the champion of our endurance? Because that's the theme of these chapters. And this leads into another section that people have had a lot of difficulty with, which we're going to get to it. How does this relate to endurance? How does it relate to Jesus? How does it relate to faith, this idea of discipline? Well, he wants us to endure through discipline because it yields the peaceable fruits of righteousness. Well, who's our example? We go back to Jesus, verses 1 and 2. If you read that again with a more critical eye, verses 3 and 4, what he's telling us is, look at how Jesus endured suffering. Look how Jesus endured that, and he's going to translate that into discipline. You and I are going to go through hardships, partly because of bad choices that we make, but partly because of people that we're surrounded with. People can cause suffering in your life. They can cause persecution. They can cause trouble within your life. How are you handling that? How are you enduring through that? That's what verses 3 through 17 are going to emphasize. Lastly, we come to the climax. Some have titled it the climax of the book. It's a summary, verses 18 through 24, which the writer has been trying to get to this point of what we have now with God and how powerful and wonderful it is, this new covenant and this new relationship that we have with God. And then, again, lastly, we're going to have our final warning that's going to lead us into chapter 13, and we'll discuss that when we get to it. So that is the outline of this section. So going back to chapter 10, in verses 26 through 31, which opens up our new section, well, it really connects back with chapter 10, verses 19 through 25. So don't separate those as it's just two separate chapters. No, it's still within context. In other words, verses 19 through 25 is the correct response to Jesus' work on the cross, and then also to him being our high priest. Verses 19 through 25 are the right response. It's the appropriate response to what Jesus has done for us. And how do you conclude that, verses 19 through 25? Drawing near to God, approaching God. That's what he's saying. You're drawing near, you're coming close to God with confidence, with boldness. That's the right response. So if that's the correct response, then verses 26 through 31 is the wrong response. That's the wrong response. Look at verse 39 just for a moment. What does he say in verse 39? We are not of those who what? Draw back, shrink back. Another way to say that is we are not like those who draw away from God. What do? We draw near to God. Those who have drawn away from God, those who are departing from the living God, those who have fallen into the hands of the living God, which is a fearful thing, those who have departed from God or departed from the faith, those who are forsaking the assembly, those are the ones who are in, verse 26, willful, deliberate, intentional sin. If you were a Hebrew person and you heard or you read this or you heard it read to you, you received this letter, this sermon, and so you're going through this and maybe the preacher or a leading figure in the congregation and elders up there reading this to the church members, as soon as you get to verse 26, you're going to go, aha, I know exactly what that's in reference to. I know exactly what he's talking about. But unfortunately, we in the church have really struggled with this. Because as soon as you read verses 26 through 31 that was read to us by Brother Jerry, immediately you're asking the question, is that me? I don't want to be the person in this category. I don't want to be a person who falls into the hands of the living. I don't want to be a person who's caught up in willful, deliberate, intentional sin. So what does it mean? What is it actually telling us? Am I a person who's doing that right now? As soon as they would have read verse 26, this passage, guess what chapter of the Bible would have come to their mind automatically? What comes to your mind? You go, well, I don't really have a particular passage, which is fine. From now on, when you read verse 26 of chapter 10, Numbers 15 should be the chapter that comes to your mind. Specifically, Numbers 15, verses 22 through 36. Because what this tells us is that there are intentional sins and there are unintentional sins. The unintentional sins, which are done out of ignorance or weakness, are things that still need sacrifice, but they're not the same as deliberate, willful, presumptuous, intentional sins, willful sins. There's a difference. And so as we look at Numbers 15 for a moment, I want you to notice a couple verses there. Verses 30 and 31. So he just talked about the unintentional, the unintentional sins of the people, again, which are done in ignorance or weakness, in moments that you just fail to live up to the standard or do what is right. And then he gets to the individuals who commit this right here, which Hebrews chapter 10, verse 26, is in reference to. Let's read it together, verses 30 and 31, and he's going to note something there that will help us to understand what he's talking about. Verse 30, but the person who does anything presumptuously, intentionally, deliberately, willfully, that's what he's talking about, whether he is native or a stranger, that brings reproach on the Lord, and he shall be cut off from among his people. Why? Verse 31, here's the reason. Because he has despised the word of the Lord. He's broken his commandment. That person shall be completely cut off. His guilt shall remain upon him. So what has this person done presumptuously? They've rejected God's commandment. They've rejected the word of the Lord. Isn't that exactly what we talked about in our outline? Part of the final warning is what? Don't reject him who spoke to us. Don't reject Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. Jesus has finally brought us the last revelation of God. God has finally and fully spoken to us through his Son. Don't reject that. That's exactly what Hebrews chapter 10, verses 26 through 31 is talking about. Now, do we have an example of this? Well, actually, we do from the context, which is very beneficial for us. So let's look at it. Hebrews chapter 10, if you're already there. Hebrews chapter 10, And we'll read the rest of the context because he's going to talk about what an example of an apostate, a person who's living in willful sin, looks like in comparison or in opposition to chapter 11, which is the examples of faithfulness and enduring through hardships. So a person who, verse 26, "For if we sin willfully after we have received the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sins." Again, an allusion back to the work of Jesus and his priestly ministry. If you reject that sacrifice of Christ, then there's nothing else, there's no other offering. Jesus' sacrifice was once and final and for all. There's no other sacrifice that's needed. So if a person goes back to relying on the blood of bulls and goats, you're in trouble. Because that no longer saves us. Only the blood of Jesus saves us. So if you're not relying on that sacrifice any longer, then nothing else is going to be able to help you. There no longer remains a sacrifice for sins. There's no other offering that you can make. But this is what this person can expect. Verse 27. "But a certain fearful expectation of judgment and fiery indignation, which will devour the adversaries." This word "fearful" is the same word that he's going to use in verse 31. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Why? Because you're falling into his wrath. Why? Because you've rejected the only sacrifice for sins that brings you in proper relationship with God. If you reject that, if you despise that, if you willfully walk away from that, then the only thing you can expect is to fall into the hands of a wrathful, more precisely, vengeful God. Verse 28. "Anyone who's rejected..." And listen to the lesser, greater principle that he's going to present to us. Verse 28. "Anyone who has rejected Moses' law dies without mercy on the testimony of two or three witnesses. How much more, greater, worse punishment do you suppose will he be thought worthy who has done three things?" This is the example of a person who's in apostasy, who's doing willful, deliberate, intentional sins. Here's the example. They've done these three things here. They've trampled the Son of God underfoot. They've counted the blood a common thing. We're going to talk about that in a moment. And we've insulted the Spirit of grace. Just for a moment, look at the last point, the third one. Do you see the oddity in this verse here? Should these two words ever go together? Insulted and spirit. The answer is no. You should never find those two words together in any sentence. Those don't go together. You never insult, you never outrage the Spirit of God. And look at the word that he entitles at the end of this with Spirit. He's the Spirit of grace. The grace that we now receive under the new covenant has been brought to us by the Spirit of God. But now you've outraged, you've insulted him. Okay, so let's walk through and see exactly what these things mean. Trampled the Son of God, this phrase conveys ultimate disdain. This is pure disdain for someone. The word for trampled under the foot, the Son of God, is never used as God or his Son as being the object. It's always God who steps or tramples on Israel's enemies, God's enemies, the people's enemies. It's always God who's doing the stepping. Now we find God is the object, and this is the only time this is used in all of the scriptures, that God is being stepped on. This is someone who is stomping on God. And so the use of Son here is going to be intentional, because the one who's due so much honor is now being shown so much disdain. You're stepping on someone. There's nothing that you can do to dishonor or reject someone any more than stepping on them. You're stomping on God. So that's a person who's in willful, deliberate sin. They're deliberately stepping on God. And they're deliberately counting the blood of the covenant, which is also significant. by which he was sanctified. So this is talking about Christians, not atheists, not non-believers. This is talking to you and I. This is talking to Christians. And he says, the blood of the covenant by which he was sanctified, a common thing. Now that word common can mean defiled. It can mean impure. So in other words, you're looking at the sacrifice of Jesus, the blood of the covenant, and you're holding it in contempt. And this can only come from a person who views Jesus' sacrifice as an ordinary thing. Jesus' death was just like anybody else's death. And they're rejecting and they're neglecting the idea that Jesus' sacrifice is final and fully, and no one else could do this. Only God's Son can do this. And so this is extremely important that Jesus' death was not just your ordinary common death. It was very significant. It was very important. It's the only thing that can cleanse us and sanctify us. And so when you begin to view that sacrifice as of Jesus as just a common thing or even defiled thing, then that person's running into trouble. Insulted the Spirit of grace. So the words, again, insult and spirit, they just don't fit together. They don't sound like they go together. And so the one who's going to hold Jesus in contempt is also going to insult the Spirit of God. This is a person who persists in his hard-heartedness towards sin. They grow bitter and they end up turning on God. They end up turning on Jesus. And so it's no wonder that they end up turning on his Spirit as well. And so verse 30 tells us that this idea of humiliation and punishment is going to continue. And he said, "Vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. The Lord will judge his people." That's the apostate Christian. And he closes it out with a fearful thing falling into the hands of the living God. So when they hear verse 30, he's going to combine two passages that actually go back to Deuteronomy 32, which was a song of Moses. So those two passages, if you have your Bible and you see the quotations and it has a reference back to Deuteronomy 32, well, that reference in its context in Deuteronomy 32 has to do with God avenging or pouring his vengeance out on Israel's enemies. God is going to do what's right towards the people of God. What's interesting about that is the writer takes that quotation and now applies it to apostate Christians. Now this wrath is being poured out on those who have renounced God's Son. And he's announcing vengeance on those who have dishonored his name. So God, as a jealous God, takes it personally when his name is being dishonored. And so this somber section is going to come to this close with falling into the hands of the living God. This is a fearful thing. That verse 31 is very short, but it's very sharp. It's distinct. It should conjure up in a person who's been neglecting or forsaking the assembly, it should conjure up in that person some fear, some trepidation. You should be concerned. It should ring alarm bells in a person. And what is really good about this is, on the one hand, if you're in apostasy, if you have renounced, rejected, hold God and everything that he's done for us in disdain, then punishment is sure. God will, being a just God, will enact his justice on all people who have forsaken him and his Son. But that's not it. And this brings us to the close of this lesson. Verses 32 through 39. It's important to have a good memory. It's important to be able to recall not only your conversion account, but recall those moments of faithfulness in your life. And if you don't have those, I encourage you, start developing those. Start engaging in the work of the church, because it will benefit you down the line when you need it. You're going to have to recall those moments that you were obedient, you were faithful, you were in a right relationship with God. And this is what he says in verse 32. He says, recall those former days in which after you were illuminated, that's Hebrews chapter 6, verses 4 through 8, after you were enlightened, you endured a great struggle with sufferings. So these novice Christians, when they first converted to Christianity, they went through a series of hardships. And that's the first thing after I baptize someone and I'm sitting there and I'm trying to encourage them, hey, you need to develop a community, you need to develop persistence or continuance in coming to meet with the people of God. This will help you down the line. I'm always trying to encourage them. I always try to warn them at the end. You have an enemy now. Satan has you as his target. You're no longer his. Now you belong to God. And what that means is now he's going to use all of his resources to target you and get you back in an unhealthy relationship. He's going to now try to pull you away from salvation. He wants to pull you back into perdition and destruction. And if you don't recognize that, if you're not familiar with that, then you're going to be a person that doesn't start out in apostasy completely. No one runs into apostasy, but what happens is you start to slowly drift in that direction. And as you find yourself drifting further and further away from God and from the people of God, you know what will help you get back on track? Man, I know I didn't always live like this. You know what? I remember my heart and my attitude at that time that I was willing to do whatever God asked me to do. That may be the moment that you got baptized. You didn't question God. You didn't challenge it. You say, well, you know, I don't know about this baptism thing. No, you saw it. And you realized it. And you realized your attitude and your mindset at that time period. Recall your faithfulness. Recall the acts that you engaged in, the works that you did for the Lord. He's not negligent. He won't forget the things that you've done for him and in the people of God. And that's what he recognizes next. Partly you were made a spectacle publicly, both by reproaches and tribulations, and partly by while you became companions of those who were so treated. You had compassion on me in my chains and joyfully accepted the plundering of your goods. So they had their stuff taken away. They had their possessions gone. They sat in partnership with those who were placed in prison for preaching the gospel. Recall these moments of faithfulness and the things that you did because you're going to need it for endurance, for perseverance. It's only when we forget what we were like in our obedience towards God. And we start to change the story. And we start to say, you know what? Egypt was a lot better. My sinful life, I had some pleasures in that. I had some joyful moments. And we begin to further and further drift away from God. And before a person realizes it, they're so far removed from God and salvation that they have such a hard time getting back. Or what happens is, if this is your right relationship with God and you begin to drift and you find yourself so far away from Him, what happens is a person says, I don't want to be here anymore. And they begin to make that trip back, but they realize it's so difficult and they don't recall their moments of faithfulness that they go, this is just too much. I'm going to stop. And you find those people back out of the church again. He says, I know we're better than that. I know we're better than that. Recall those moments of faithfulness. Realize what you endured and don't give up now. Don't quit now. Why would you quit now on God? Now is the time that he's going to tell them, verse 35, do not cast away your confidence. That's perfectly in line with holding on your confession, holding on to that confidence, holding on to what you have firm until the end. Do not throw it away. Why? Verse 36, for you have need of endurance so that you who have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. Yet a little while, because not all punishment lasts forever, it's not eternal. Yet a little while, he who is coming will come and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith, but if anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure in him. We are not of those who draw back to perdition, but we are of those who believe to the saving of the soul. What will help us to persevere and endure is drawing near to God. And then the last thing, he's telling them, you have need of endurance. And endurance towards what? Continuing to do the will of God, what God has asked you to do. So if you are here this morning, what's the invitation? The invitation is simply this. Which side are you on? Do you find yourself slipping away from God? Do you find yourself missing more and more services? Are you going through hardships and struggles? Maybe it's external. Maybe it's the workplace that you're in. Maybe it's internal. Maybe you're just going through times of depression or hardship. What are you going through? Is it causing you to slip and fall away from God? Don't do that. We think better of you. We know that you can make changes and turn back to God. And if you need to do that today, we would love to help you. If you're here and you're not a Christian, give your life over to God. Become a Christian. Be baptized for the remission of your sins. But if you're here and you know better, and this lesson resonates with you, then I encourage you, draw near to God. Come to God where there is salvation. And learn how to persevere and endure through all the hardships. If we can help you in any way this morning, come forward as we stand and we sing.